We welcome you this morning to Barbies Grove Baptist Church as we come to worship the Lord together. The weather outside today is a lot more sunny and a lot less foggy and chilly than it was last week. But you know, God's the same. He's always smiling on us. He's always loving us. He's always caring about us. And we're so glad that you've joined us in this time of worship. You may be sitting in your car in the parking lot, or maybe one of those that live close enough that you can sit in your home and sit back in your recliner and listen. Or you may be on the web later today, but we're so glad that you've joined us. And our prayer is always that the Holy Spirit will speak to you concerning whatever particular need you have. Whether you need encouragement, or you need peace, you need guidance, you need to be taught. Maybe you need salvation. You need Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We pray that the Holy Spirit will just give you exactly what you need. And I don't know, but He does. And He's so gracious to bless us. May we pray. Father, we know that You've told us that where two or three are gathered together in Your name, there You are in our midst. You're here. We don't have to ask You to come. You're here. We don't have to ask You to intervene. You want to. You desire to. We don't have to ask for Your grace and mercy, for that grace is new every morning. That mercy is new every morning. So, Father, we just come to thank You. Thank You for Your presence. Thank You for Your blessing. Thank You for caring for us. Thank You for Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Thank You for what You're going to do during this hour to minister to the needs of those who listen, and to minister to those that we minister to after we listen. And Lord, we want You to know that we praise You and we worship You and we love You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Sunday, March the 7th, 2021, as time marches on. This is another new month as well, and we're in the month of, obviously, of March, and I have the March birthdays I want to share with you, and that you might be able to say happy birthday to someone for March. Will High, March the 7th. Shirley Morton, March the 14th. Bertie Hatley, March the 19th. Wesley Barbie, March the 19th. Jeremy Barbie, March the 21st. Carol Kelly, March the 23rd, and Michael Barbie, March the 24th. I hope I haven't missed anyone. If I have, please forgive me, and we'll say happy birthday to everyone. Let's sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you, and many more, absolutely. We're going to share some music with you now, and we're going to go back and we're going to ask the Towers Quartet for us to sing this morning. We're going to go back an old Albert E. Brumley tune from 1929. It's one that'll kind of make you pat your feet and clap your hands. Sings, "I'll Fly Away." Sing, guys.
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, bye and bye. By and by, I'll fly away. I'll
old tune kind of make you pat your feet this morning. Well, I have some announcements for you this morning as we continue on with the services this morning. We will continue for the services as usual with the parking lot at service at 99.1 and then the webcast available at 12:30. I will tell you now, we are looking very seriously about starting our services back up or giving you the options to come back into the sanctuary. Our deacons will be meeting this next Tuesday night, and one of the items of topic we will be discussing will be when we can get back and get back safely. So be praying for us, okay? Then God will lead us in the right. I know He will, and in the right way. All right? Also, the parsonage update. I'll give you where we are with the parsonage update. We are tentatively scheduled to close on March the 15th. We do have some inspection issues. The inspection has been completed, and we have some inspections issues, which you might imagine, a home that old, that do have some things that will have to be addressed, and we're looking into that. So just know, but things are moving along, and maybe with God willing, we'll be March the 15th, we could close. All right. And now also don't forget daylight savings time. That starts next Saturday night, actually, March the 14th, and you spring forward. So you'll be getting all kind of warnings for that. But please be aware, we're going to start into the daylight savings time. Also, we'll give you the final total for the pregnancy resource was offering was $1,035, and praise the Lord. Great. That's a great response, and we thank you all. All right. That's all the announcements I have for this morning. Our prayer request this morning, as we want to share with you, Rebecca Cox. Now, you don't know her. Our church family does not, but she's a customer of mine, and she's been diagnosed with lung cancer and one of the latter stages of it, and we need to pray for her that God's will be done. Also, a bit of a praise report. Matter of fact, it is a praise report for P.J. Swan. That's Charlene's mother. She's actually out of the coma and doing better, and she's not totally alert as they would like, but she is responding, and so that's wonderful. And so she's got a long ways to go before she will be able to walk or even talk again. But let's pray for them. But that is a praise report. Let's remember Ann Barbie. I spoke to Ann, and Ann is still having some problems with blood pressure and irregular heartbeat. And she goes back to the doctor this coming Monday. So you lift up Ann, lift up Ann in your prayers. Let's continue to pray for our church as we make decisions, as we're thinking about and working forward to going back into sanctuary services. Let's pray for God's will, that He would lead and guide and direct us. And as always, let's remember our nation. Let's remember our leaders in these troubling times. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this opportunity You've given us. As the pastor has already pointed out and in his prayer, that we're thankful that You're in this place with us today. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Thank You for the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And now, Lord, as we think about the blessings You've given us already today and already through the years You've given us, and while we've had some troubling times, Lord, You've been good to us, and we thank You for the blessings. But now, Lord, as we thank You, we're going to ask You for some things, Lord, that You've asked us to be able to do. And Lord, we're going to come to You and ask Your blessings now upon some individuals. We pray, Lord, for Miss Rebecca Cox. We lift her up to You this morning as she's battling lung cancer. And Lord, P.J. Swan, we give a praise report for her, but she has a long ways to go. We pray for her. And then, Lord, for Miss Ann Barbie, Lord, we pray for her as she goes back to the doctor and as she's dealing with a heart condition. We pray for her and the blood pressure as well. And then, Lord, as we are making decisions, Lord, we ask, Lord, Your guidance for our church as we are looking, Lord, to go back into sanctuary services. Lord, guide us with Your wisdom, and Lord, help our deeds to reflect that. And Lord, we pray for that dearly. Pray for our nation. We pray for all our leaders from our county to the state to the national. We pray for all, Lord. Now, Lord, as we continue on in this service today, we're so thankful, Lord, for the dedication of Brother West, Lord, as he's with us each and every Sunday. And then, Lord, we ask as our pastor comes forward that, Lord, you would bless him, Lord, and give him the words, Lord. We know those sermons that he preaches comes from you. We know they're laid upon his heart by you. And, Lord, we're so thankful for him and thankful for his willingness to come and serve. Now, Lord, we ask that you go with us now further. And if, Lord, if there be anyone in this, as we witness today, that does not know you as their Savior, Lord, we pray, Lord, that something will be said or done that will convince them, Lord, that now is the time to accept you as their Savior. Lead, guide, and direct us, we pray, Lord, in this prayer. We always are very careful to give you all the glory and all the praise. And all the people said, amen. Now for our song of praise this morning, we're going to ask Kathy. Both the pastor and I this morning have been talking about the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit. I picked out a song 2 days ago, 3 days ago, that talks about that very thing. And so it's just amazing to me now how we all come and we know that as we look in among us this morning, and there's only three of us in this sanctuary this morning, but we know that God's in the presence. We know the Holy Spirit is here with us because he promised us if two or three are gathered together in his name. And we're here definitely together in his name. Kathy's going to sing a song just exactly makes that statement. It says, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Kathy.
His grace. I can hear the rush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. In the midst of doesn't take very many. It can be just two or three. And I feel that same sweet spirit that I felt times before. Surely I can say that I've been with the Lord. Surely this place. I've touched the hem of his garment. I can almost see his face, and my heart is overflowing with the fullness of his joy. I know the Lord
Thank you, Kathy. That was beautiful. And you know, the wonderful, wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit is His presence can be everywhere. As I said earlier, His presence is here in this basically empty church sanctuary. But His presence is there with you in your car. His presence is there with you in your home, your office, wherever you might be. Just let Him love you. Just let Him speak to your heart, comfort you, encourage you, challenge you. Just feel His presence and feel His love. You know, back in my younger days when I still lived at home, we picked a lot of peaches. Now, the goal was not just to get the peaches off the tree and into the basket. The goal was to get the peaches to the people that wanted them to eat, to make ice cream, to can, or to freeze. It was the same way when we went to the farm. The goal was not just to get the wheat, corn, soybeans, or whatever into the combine. The goal was to get that into the barn or the silo or to the local grain buyers. Just getting the peaches in the basket or just getting the grain in the combine was the first step. Those of you that remember what I preached last week, I talked about the harvest. If we have our eye and our heart in the same place that the Lord has His eye and His heart, we're going to be focused on the harvest. But we need to think about the completion of the harvest. We talk sometimes about making converts, or we talk about baptisms. How many baptisms did your church have last year? How many converts did you have last year? Well, that's good, that's wonderful, but that's just the first step in the process. That's just the first step in the harvest process. I want us to look at the other steps. If you turn with me first to Matthew 28, what we call the Great Commission, beginning at verse 18. And we want to talk about the completion of the harvest. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and reach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." Okay, that's where we're talking about. The beginning of the harvest. We go to wherever people are that do not know Jesus Christ, and we reach them and we baptize them. But then what does Jesus say? "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Jesus says you don't stop when you get them baptized. You teach them. You teach them to observe everything that He has first taught us. In other words, He said to the disciples, "I taught you, you go out and make new believers, and then you teach them everything I taught you." Now, sometimes we use the word observe as the idea of, well, I observed a wreck, which means I saw a wreck. But if you say, "I observed Christmas," that means you had a whole bunch of activities that you took part of and participated in at the Christmas holidays. And so Jesus is not saying we want them just to look. We want them to learn and to be able to do everything that I taught you. You see, everything that Jesus taught is to be passed on. We're not just to make converts, we're to make disciples. Now at this point, I think each one of us ought to ask ourselves, am I a convert or a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now it's possible to be a convert and die and go to heaven, but it's so much better to be a disciple. It's so much better to be a disciple. Now, it's sad when somebody's been a convert for 70 years and never became a disciple. But when we become a disciple, we're growing. And we need to ask ourselves as pastor, deacons, Sunday school teachers, and as a church, are we making just converts or are we making disciples? How do you tell the difference? How do you tell the difference? Well, I think you can tell a lot of difference if you'll turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to look at a whole lot of that chapter. And I realize I could stop at any particular verse here and preach my time and quit right there. But I think, unless the Lord intervenes, we'll run through it fairly quickly. But you need to go back and study it for yourself. And Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 talked about, in verse 8, Jesus gave gifts unto men. In other words, the whole context is Jesus came, he died, he rose again, he went back to heaven, and he sent the Holy Spirit with gifts. Now you remember on the day of Pentecost when the disciples were filled with the Spirit and they spoke with tongues and they preached and that with great power, healings followed. And if you look at Paul's letter to Corinth, he talks about, I believe it's 9 spiritual gifts, teaching and preaching and administration and giving and ministry and service and tongues and interpretation of tongues and prophecy and all kinds of gifts. And God gave these to the church. But in this particular passage in verse 11, he said he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He gave these gifted individuals to the church to make disciples. He gave them so that these individuals, through the grace gift that the Lord had placed upon their life, might be able to minister to the body of Christ. And this can be, you know, people like myself, but it can also be, you know, you can have a part of that as a Sunday school teacher or as a deacon or someone else. You can have your own gifts, and we'll talk about those in a minute. And I look at this list of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. I see myself pastor, teacher. I fit in there. I think about Marty Dupree that I had speak here 2 or 3 years ago, and I think about Brother Derek that's come and preached our revivals. They're more evangelist. That doesn't mean they're better than me or I'm better than them. It means that God has graciously given us and gifted us a little bit different. And there's some with a prophetic ministry. God is gifted a little bit different. But verse 12 tells us why. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So God gave us all of these different gifts, and the church needs them all so that he might help us to grow as disciples, that we might mature, that we might build up the body of Christ. The whole idea is that we might become disciples and we might grow and build up the body of Christ, and notice there in the middle of that, to do the work of the ministry, so that we might become what God wants us to be, and we might do everything that God calls us to do. Now, every church has its own community. Every church has its own calling. Every church has its own particular way of reaching out and ministering to their community. And so he says, God has gifted us with individuals to teach us that we might grow and have unity and we might do that work that God's called us to do. I think of, like the shoebox ministry. We did quite a few for our church this year. But there are some churches that what we did was not even a tithe on what they do. Their heart is more into it than ours. But we probably gave more money to the Baptist Children's Home than they did. Our heart was a little different place. So it's the ministry that the church gives. Some churches are in a community where there's a lot of homeless people, and they minister to those homeless people. I haven't passed anybody living under a bridge on my way to Barber's Grove. I don't say that there aren't any, but we don't have the same ministry that they do. God says, I sent these gifted individuals to disciple you that you might grow up and you might do the work that God's called you to do. And then he says, another evidence of becoming a disciple is a unity of the faith, a knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or mature man, unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I don't know that in this world we will all ever come to cross our T's exactly the same and dot our I's exactly the same in faith. But I find brothers and sisters in the Lord in many, many denominations that believe exactly, basically as I believe. We may have some differences on some peripheries, but basically they're the same. There's a faith that unites. And when it's like a number of years ago, I read a book where someone had sort of like drawn a square box, and they said, the basic beliefs are here inside of this box. Now, the outside of the box, there may be some things different, but all Christians should be believing those things that are in that box. Some of them would be things like the authority of the scripture. The perfection of the scripture. The supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that he's the only Savior. The only way to heaven. The second coming of Jesus. The resurrection of Christ. Those are some of the things that are in the box. Now, whether Jesus is coming pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, or at the end of the tribulation, we can argue that all day long. And I have some good friends that don't believe like I do, but we're still good friends. But all the other stuff that I mentioned, we're in total agreement on. He says, a unity of the faith, and we grow up to be like Jesus, a fullness of Christ. In other words, the goal of a disciple is to look like Jesus. The goal of a disciple is to look like Jesus. And he goes on to say in verse 14, that we be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and by cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Not childish. Not childish. Childish in actions. It's so sad when you see that person that's been a convert for 40, 50 years, but didn't grow to be a disciple and still acting like a 5-year-old spiritually. And also the idea of not knowing the scripture, believing this doctrine and that doctrine and the other doctrine, and anybody that knocks on your door can lead you astray because you don't know the Bible. Childish. childless, childish. He says, there are people out there wanting to deceive you. And the Bible tells us that as the second coming of the Lord draws closer and closer, there will be some that will be deceived and will fall away because they don't know their Bible. I can't stress enough. Get into your Bible. Study your Bible. Read your Bible. Let the Holy Spirit teach you the Bible. When you have questions that you don't understand, go to somebody that you trust and let them answer those questions. And there may be times that, and there may be times I've said, I don't know the answer to that. But there are also many times that things make perfect sense if you look at it and you tie Scripture together. Don't be childish. He said, one evidence of a disciple is that he's losing his childlike and child nature. And why? Because he knows the Word of God. And then he goes on to say in verse 15, a disciple is going to speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Sometimes we have to say, that's not right. I heard a man last night talk about being around some people who were very vulgar and having to speak the truth in love. You know, you can speak the truth in a hateful way. You can speak the truth in an ugly way. Or you can speak the truth in love. And then he says, you may grow up into all things, which is the head even of Christ. Emphasizing again, you become more responsive to the leadership of the Lord, more like Jesus, letting him be the head of the church. And then he says, out of Jesus, verse 16, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's what I was referring to earlier. You have a role to play in the body of Christ. Paul used the illustration in the Corinthian letters about you have the eye, and the eye can't say, well, I don't need the mouth or I don't need the ear. And he says, you know, you can't, the body's all different parts, and every part is needed. And folks, as you listen to me this morning, God has a role for you to play. He's gifted you spiritually. He's gifted you with talents. He's gifted you with abilities. And yours are unique. There may be others in the church that have the same gifts. God means for you to work together. I think about people that worked in the nursery for 50 and 60 years. They love babies. They love to take care of kids. If you'd have made them a teacher in an adult class, they'd have been miserable. They'd have been out of place. But they had their gift. They had their role. I think of others that taught Sunday school classes for adults for the 50 or 60 years and were great and godly men or women teachers. If you'd have put them in the nursery, they wouldn't have known how to change a diaper. We have gifts. We have those that can stand and beautifully lead us in music. And we have those that, like myself, don't do that so well. Folks, what's your gift? What's your talent? What's your calling? Read that list in Corinthians where Paul talks about spiritual gifts. Where do you fit in? Where do you fit in? One of the gifts there is administration. And I love it when I have deacon chairman and building and ground chairman who have that gift. Boy, the meetings go so well. And you may have, as you cycle around, you may have a person in one of those positions that doesn't have that gift. And they're a great man, a great guy. But, oh man, the meetings just don't go nearly as well. They don't have that gift of administration. You have people with that gift, one of them is giving. I think about two men in my first church. If we had a youth group going somewhere to Caswell or off on some other trip and we had some kids that couldn't go because they didn't have the money, I could go to either one of these men and say, John, Gilbert, we've got two kids that can't go. And they'd whip out a $100 bill and hand it to me just as fast as they could zip their pocketbook open. They had that gift of giving. That gift of ministry. And a lot of kids got to go to a lot of places they wouldn't have been able to go because their family didn't have the finances. But a person with a gift of giving, they just love to give. Where do you fit in the body of Christ? Knowing what your spiritual gifts is, knowing what your places are, study those passages and see what the Lord says to you. How would you have Him speak so that you would know how He wants you to serve? Verse 17 through 19, thus I say, therefore, and testify to the Lord that you henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if you so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. A disciple is going to live like Jesus. He's not going to live like the world. When you see a person who says, I'm a Christian, and their life does not give evidence of a changed life, something's missing. Either they're still just a convert, or they weren't saved at all. And only the Lord knows your heart. Only the Lord knows anyone's heart. But when we live like the world, when our language is worldly, our pursuits are worldly, our activities are worldly, when our thought life is worldly, something is wrong. We're definitely not a disciple. Now, let me say here at this point, some of these changes happen instantaneously. You get saved and all of a sudden, you're just different. Some of these changes are gradual. Over a period of time, you get better and better and more like Jesus. It's a growing process. It's like that little child. He's born or she's born. And the first few words of sounds that come out of the mouth, blah, 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 blah. And then they can say, Mama, Daddy, love you. But as that child continues to grow, their vocabulary changes. Like it said about Jesus, He increased in wisdom, stature, favor with God and man. Growing disciples don't look like the world. They look different. He says, walk not as other Gentiles with a darkened understanding, alienated from the life of God, ignorant, blindness, past feeling, living lasciviously, uncleanness and greediness. He said, you didn't learn that from Jesus. And one of the tragedies of our particular era and time today is the watering down of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are a lot of folks, pastors included, theologians, that have the idea if we just lower our standards some, then the world is going to like us. And the world is going to come into the churches in great flocks, great numbers. Folks, you can fill up the church with unbelievers and make them think they're going to fly away and go to heaven. But they're going to be greatly deceived. God has not changed his standards. God has not changed the way that we should live. God wants us to be different from the world. And he says, you didn't learn worldliness from Jesus. And notice in verse 22, he gives us the choice. Put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, which is after Christ, God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You got up this morning and you knew what you were going to put on. You probably put off your pajamas or nightgown or whatever it is that you sleep in and you put on something different. And Paul, or as he writes to these Ephesian Christians and talking about growing as a disciple, he says, you put off all that was old, corrupt, deceitful, have your mind renewed, and put on the new man, which is like God in righteousness and holiness. And then he goes on in the rest of the chapter and tells us what that looks like. Verse 25, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Don't give place to the devil. The one that stole, steal no more. Work with your hands so that you may give to people that have need. Let no evil words, corrupt communication out of your mouth, but that which is good to edify and give grace to others. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do away with bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. Put away from you all malice or evil. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Notice there, all of those things he says, put off and put on, put off and put on. In other words, he's giving us a formula for growth. Becoming a disciple. And the desire of every true believer is to be more like Jesus. Every true believer should have the desire to be a disciple. Now, if we just make converts and leave them, it's like a baby being born and being left in the nursery with no nurture. And that baby will never grow. Eventually it will die. But if that baby is given the proper nourishment and love, that baby will grow and mature and become an adult. If we as a church just make converts, we let people walk the aisle, we put them through the baptistry and we leave them alone, we're just not treating them right. We need to nurture them, teach them, train them, give them good nourishment so that they might grow and become mature disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the true harvest begins with conversion, like getting the peaches off the tree into the basket or getting the grain into the combine. But that's just the first step. The Lord says, look, the fields are white unto harvest. Go out and make disciples. Baptize them first, but then make disciples. Get them born again, but then make disciples. Let me ask you again. Do you look more like and act more like a convert or a disciple? As you look back on your life, say 5 years ago, are you more like Jesus now than you were 5 years ago? If you go to your high school reunion that you haven't been to in 5 years, and one of your old classmates walks up and you have a conversation, does that classmate say, you know, you're different than you were 5 years ago? You're different. Do they see the holiness of Jesus in you? I know, looking at these stained glass windows with the halos over the head, we don't walk around with halos over our heads. But there's a glow of the Lord Jesus Christ that shines forth from every disciple. Amen. Every disciple. Let's grow and be more than just a convert. Let's be a disciple. Let's teach new believers, not just leave them in their babyhood, but help them to grow. You know, that's the only way to really grow a church. There are churches that baptize hundreds of people every year, but the attendance never changes because they're making converts and not disciples. Isn't it interesting? Jesus had the great multitudes that followed him, but there were only a few that really were taught. And then he gave them the responsibility to go out and teach others, to make disciples. And you know, I found that the more you grow, the more you enjoy your salvation. The more you become like Jesus, the more joy. The more you study your Bible and learn, and the more it just leaps off the page and blesses you. And the more you grow as a disciple, the more you please Jesus. Converts are going to heaven. But on the road between here and there, let's become disciples. And we'll enjoy life and the journey a whole lot more. We'll be a blessing to more people. The harvest truly is plenteous. The laborers are few. Let's get our eyes on the harvest. But when we reach the harvest, let's complete the harvest. If you're listening to me this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray that today you'll give your heart and life to Him. It's so simple. Just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart and say, you're lost, you're unsaved, you need a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior. And if you can honestly say and confess with your mouth, I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. I believe that He was buried and that He rose again. And I confess Him as my personal Lord and Savior, then you're saved. And all the devils in hell can't keep you from being saved if you'll make that confession and really mean it. And if you make that confession, let somebody know, share it with somebody that can help you to grow and become more than just a convert, but a disciple on your way to glory. And I encourage every believer, it doesn't matter whether you've been a Christian for 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, or 70 years. Continue to grow. Continue to become more like Jesus. Continue to learn. Continue to allow the Spirit of God to teach you. And I'll be so glad that you don't have to do it alone. You make the choice and the Holy Spirit becomes your teacher. The Bible becomes your textbook. And joy becomes your way of living. Father, today we just thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for those that have listened. May we have ears to hear, hearts to understand, a will to obey. And Lord, thank you for the glory and the joy of being a growing disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.